Become separated.
Samsaya padam.
Samsaya padam.
Position of doubtfulness.
Position of doubtfulness.
Means,
jiva kosham.
Engagement of the living entity.
Engagement of the living entity.
Translation: by regularly discharging devotional service, Pradyumna Maharaj became transcendental in mind. He could therefore constantly think of the lotus feet of the Lord. Because of this, he became completely detached and attained perfect knowledge by which he could transcend all doubt. Thus he was freed from the clutches of false ego and the material conception of life. Purport in Narada Pancharatra. Devotional service of the Lord is likened unto a queen. When a queen gives an audience, many maidservants follow her. The maidservants of devotional service are material objects of liberation from sacred powers. The karmis are very much attached to material enjoyment. The jnanis are very anxious to become freed from material clutches. And the yogis are very fond of attaining the eight kinds of mystic perfections. From the Narada Pancharatra, we understand that if one attains a stage of pure devotional service, he also attains all the opulences derived from fruit of activities, empirical philosophy and speculation, and mystic yoga practice. Srila Bilvamangal Thakur therefore prayed in his Krishna Karanamrita, "My dear Lord, if I have unflinching devotion to you, you become manifest before me personally. And the results of fruit activity and pure philosophical speculation, namely religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, become like personal attendants and remain standing before me as if awaiting my order. The idea here is that the Gyanis, the culture of Brahma Vidya, spiritual knowledge, struggle very hard to get out of the clutches of material nature. But a devotee, by dint of his advancement in devotional service, automatically becomes detached from his material body. When the devotee's spiritual body begins to manifest, he actually enters into his activities in transcendental life. At present, we have contacted the material body, material mind, and material intelligence, but when we become free from these material conditions, our spiritual body, spiritual mind, and spiritual intelligence become manifest. In that transcendental state, a devotee attains all the benefits of karma, jnana, and yoga. Although he never engages in fruitive activities from pure speculation to attain mystic powers, automatically mystic powers appear in service. The devotee does not want any kind of material opulence, but such opulence appears before him automatically. He does not have to endeavor for it. Because of his devotional service, he automatically becomes Brahma Buddha, as stated before, this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Mam Chayoga Vicharena Bhakti Yoga Sevate Sagunan Samati Jaitan Brahma Buyayam Topade. One who is engaged in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature, and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Because of his regular discharge of devotional service, a devotee attains a transcendental stage of life. Since his mind is transcendentally situated, he cannot think of anything but the lotus feet of the Lord. This is the meaning of the word samsmarana anupurtya. By constantly thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, the devotee immediately becomes situated in sudha-sattva. Sudha-sattva refers to that platform which is above the modes of material nature, including the mode of goodness. In the material world, the mode of goodness is considered to be representative of the highest perfection, but one has to transcend this mode and come to the stage of sudha-sattva, or pure goodness, where the three qualities of material nature cannot act. So the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives the following example. When one has strong digestive power after eating, he automatically lights a fire within his stomach to digest everything. It does not need to take medicine to aid his digestion. Similarly, the fire devotional service is so strong that the body does not need to act separately to attain perfect knowledge or detachment from material attractions. A Jnani may become detached from material attractions by prolonged discussion about subjects of knowledge, and may in this way finally come to the Brahma Buddha stage. But a devotee does not have to undergo so much trouble. By virtue of his devotional service, he attains the Brahma Buddha stage without a doubt. The yogis and jnanis are always doubtful about their constitutional position. Therefore, they mistakenly think of becoming one with the Supreme. However, a devotee's relationship with the Supreme becomes manifest beyond all doubt, and he immediately understands his position as that of an eternal servant of the Lord. Jnanis and yogis without devotion may think themselves liberated, but actually their intelligence is not as pure as that of a devotee. In other words, jnanis and yogis cannot become actually liberated unless they become elevated to the position of devotees. Arubhya Kritrena Param Param Tata Vatantyado Nakrita Yusvidamvaya. The jnanis and yogis may rise to the highest position in Brahman realization, but because of their lack of devotion under the lotus feet of the Lord, they again fall down into material nature. Therefore, jnana and yoga should not be accepted as the real processes for liberation. By discharging devotional service, Maharaj Prithu automatically transcended all these positions. Since Maharaj Prithu was a Shaktivesh incarnation of the Supreme Lord, he did not have to act in any way to attain liberation. He came from the Vaikuntha world or spiritual sky in order to execute the will of the Supreme Lord on earth. Consequently, he was to return home back to God without having to execute jnana, yoga, or karma. Although Prithu Maharaj was eternally a pure devotee of the Lord, he nonetheless adopted the process of devotional service in order to teach the people in general the proper process for executing the duties of life and ultimately returning home back to Godhead. Translation: by regularly discharging devotional service, Prithu Maharaj became transcendental in mind and could therefore constantly think of the lotus feet of the Lord. Because of this, he became completely detached and attained perfect knowledge by which he could transcend all doubt. Thus he was freed from the clutch of the false ego and the material conception. So here we see that the statement is that Ritu Maharaj performed bhakti. And through this process, whatever is achieved by jnana, that is detachment, automatically manifested within him. And the jiva kosha, or the covering on the jiva, which means the subtle body, also was destroyed. Or, as it says in Chicheda, he separated himself from it completely. So in other words, he gave up false ego and everything else. So this is the endeavor of the jnani through the practice of study of Vedanta and detachment. Whereas Prithu Maharaj attained this by constant devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Of course, we know that he's already perfect because he's Shakyavaj avatar, but he sets an example. So though he went through this whole process of taking vanaprastha and doing severe austerities and becoming detached, etc., following the yoga process, and then doing bhakti, here we find that bhakti is glorified more than the other processes. So as Prabhupada points out in the purport, there's no necessity of depending upon karma, jnana, or yoga. If one simply performs bhakti, whatever one achieves by karma, jnana, or yoga is achieved by bhakti. Of course, the example is given of in Bilba Mangal's prayer, where he says that bhukti mukti stand like maidservants once he has come to the position of bhakti. So bhakti is like the queen, and bhukti and mukti are like maidservants. So that means the results of karma and jnana. They are servants. They are servants of bhakti. However, the devotee, when he sees these two servants, he does not want to engage them. So he, even though these servants are saying, "How can I serve you?" The devotee generally says, "No, I don't want your service," and kicks them away. So the devotee is not interested in jnana and liberation, nor is he interested in material enjoyment, bhakti and mukti. Why? Because they're unfavorable for bhakti. But, as is said here, these things accompany bhakti. So they may be engaged in devotional service. So the results of jnana are detachment and destruction of ahankara. So yes, that is okay for bhakti. Final result, liberation is not. But some of the results are acceptable in bhakti. And similarly in karma, if one gets certain results, or material results, one can use those for devotional service. So in that sense, the devotee can engage the things that arise from bhakti and mukti in the service of the Lord. But, of course, he also has to be careful. So without endeavoring for performance of karma, varnashrama, jnana, yoga, the results can also be there. But the devotee is very careful in how he uses those things for devotional service. The Prabhupada here mentions the purport, even the devotee gets mystic power. So, still, we know that even Patanjali says real yogi should not be interested in these cities because it detracts from his goal of understanding Atma. So the same thing goes for the devotee. He may get some powers, but he does not want to indulge in these things because that becomes a distraction for him. So, of course, we'll see in bhakti, the purer and more intense it becomes, the more they will become disinterested in all these other things. So, for instance, there's when the queens, Krishna's queens of Dwarka, they meet Draupadi or Kshetra, and then the queens say, "Oh, we don't want, we have no interest in worldly kingdoms. We have no interest in Indra's kingdom. We have no interest in Brahmas ruling over the whole universe. We have no interest in mystic powers at all. We don't want any of these things. All we want is to get the dust from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and put it on our heads. That's all we want. So they reject all of these things. And even they don't want liberation. Or even they don't demand a place in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha. Even that they don't want. They simply want to put the dust of the lotus feet on their head. In other words, they want to serve the Lord. That's all. And all these other things they're not looking for. They're not their goal. So of course, the Lord is very clever, and sometimes he gives everything also, as in the case of Dhruva and others. He will give things, and what is favorable for devotional service of that particular devotee, he supplies that so they can serve properly. So we understand that the devotee goes to the spiritual world, so he gets salokya, and he gets samipya, he gets sarupya, he gets proper form, etc. He gets these things. But the devotee is not demanding these things, or that is not his goal. So his only goal is to serve the Supreme Lord. And then, automatically, all these other things are achieved. So that is the process, of course, of sadhana, where one is striving for perfect service. And then, as a result, detachment from the world takes place. And the positive result is that he establishes a relationship with the Supreme Lord in bhakti and perfects that. So the process of bhakti is independent of the other processes, so it does not depend upon everything else. Certain aspects can be used, but it is not. We cannot insist that they must be there, because the process of bhakti itself will give all the results of karma, jnana, and yoga. So we can't say that you have to do this and have to do this from karma yoga, jnana yoga, or sangha yoga. No. They may be done on certain cases, but not absolute necessities. So the only necessity is bhakti. And if that is done, then whatever one achieves through karma yoga or jnana or sangha yoga can also be achieved through bhakti. But the devotee, of course, is not so much interested in those things. So the devotee concentrates simply upon the bhakti aspect. So in spite of the fact that Prithu Maharaj has given an example for the common people and went through this process of taking vanaprastha and doing austerities and practicing Ashtanga Yoga, that does not mean that that's the process that we follow. Right? So as Prabhupada points out here, the process is bhakti itself, and other things are all secondary to that.
But isn't that devotional service, then one will become free from karma?
Yeah.
And you say, Baba says, karma upur prayer?
Oh, well, it is the results of karma yoga. You get the results of karma yoga in the sense that you get material opulence. The Lord will offer that to you. But karma, meaning the reactions to activities, that is all destroyed by the process of bhakti.
But Prabhupada started the movement penniless. But Prabhupada got everything.
Yeah, but the Lord supplies what is necessary.
One ashram includes karma yoga and Nishkam karma yoga.
What's that?
One ashram system.
Well, karma yoga, we can say, is synonymous with varnashram.
And Nishkam karma yoga?
Same. Except you do without attachment. So when Krishna advises Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, okay, you fight, but don't be attached to the results. In other words, you're not striving to get a kingdom, you're not doing it for this or that. Then it becomes Nishkama Karma.
Nishkama means expansion
of the Nishkama. No, Nishkama Karma Yoga is still in the material world subject.
The three types of karma, nishkarma, akarma, and karma. So, akarma means your devotional service.
It can be, but when we're speaking about karma yoga, nishkama karma yoga is only in sattva. So by there you can go to Brahmaloka. So it's not bhakti as such. bhakti, of course, is also nishkama. But nishkama karma yoga means perform your duties of varnashram without attachment. Whereas nishkama bhakti means hear, chant, remember the Lord without any other desires. So there's a difference there. Oh yeah, it is, yeah. Remembrance of the Lord. Well, of course, that's a general statement. Obviously, in the spiritual world, just remembering the Lord? No, of course, they're loving the Lord, they're serving the Lord, so many things. That's all the goal also. Well, yeah, if you can't remember the Lord and do all your devotional service, it's also not very productive. We're thinking, we end up thinking of something else, but what is the use of our devotional service? We're not doing it for Krishna, we're doing it for something else then.
Motivated devotion service also offers such research.
Oh yeah.
So how do you understand this? Do you project or motivated?
What's that?
How does one distinguish whether the motivated is there or unmotivated devotion service is a byproduct?
That we get results?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the intentions of the person doing bhakti, in other words. If he has this conscious desire, I'm doing devotional service, and I want this and this and this and this, this in the material world, then obviously it's that. And you may get those things. The Lord will supply them. But the other point is that if we come to the level of pure bhakti, then the Lord may supply also. In the case of Dhruva, he did mix bhakti, karma, mister bhakti, but then he gave up that idea, and still the Lord gave it to him. Well, in Kali Yuga, kirtan is the main process. That's the Yuga Dharma. But you cannot separate smarana. So if you do kirtan, you can never remember the Lord. It's also pointless. But smarana is a process in itself. Simply to remember the Lord is like meditation. Yeah, remembering the form, qualities, activities of the Lord, that's smart. But to do that as a main activity, then you sit there and just meditate on the Lord. Well, you can do seva in sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. And if it's prema, obviously it means perfect. So seva is a little more general. Whereas prema indicates it's a very high level. But in prema, obviously one serves.
Such a pure devotee, useless property.
Yes, of course. So that's the only purpose he will accept them for. Or otherwise he may reject them.
Okay.